all your favorite letters. CFL, NHL, NBA, MLB, NFL. All on the RPS. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday. Good morning, Canada, and to Canadian sports fans around the world. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show, episode number 203. Canada's morning sports talk show is on the air. I'm Rod. He's Darren. Hello, Darren DuPont.
Hey, good morning.
Are we ready to open a brand new week?
Let's do it.
That's good. We had breaking news right out of the chute today, right out of the gate. And perfect timing for us in terms of being on the air. Not great timing for CFL fans, if I may. Canadian Football League issuing a statement this morning as of 8:30 a.m. Mountain that as of today, the opening of CFL training camps will be postponed. Postponed indefinitely. So I'm just jumping right into the deep end with the biggest news that pertains to a lot of our viewers and listeners and a lot of Canadian sports fans. So we're going to get to that. That'll probably be a theme through a lot of the show today. We got some great CFL guests lining up, plus XFL. Mike Abel-Meshwork is going to be joining us. We continue to observe the safety guidelines as outlined by our safety consultant, Jeff Campbell at Campbell Safety. Nobody outside full-time staff is allowed inside the bunker. So Mike Abel-Meshwork will be joining us on video chat from his home. Justin Dunk of Three Down Nation will be joining us with some thoughts on the CFL draft and the Olympics decision. As you notice, he's been covering that very closely from his other position with CHCH Television in Hamilton. Solomon Alamimian will be joining us, the president of the CFL Players Association from Arizona. And Connor Falk will be joining us. He's an XFL reporter out of Virginia. So kind of a recap of the 2020 season, and for sure a look ahead to the 2021 season. So are you ready to roll?
Let's do it.
Yeah, we invite audience participation as always via the Facebook live feed. Write in, share the show if you don't mind. Wouldn't that help us out a lot, fellas?
Big time.
Yeah?
Sharing now,
thank you. I never had time because we had a minor emergency here. The clip that clips my earpiece to my jacket foobarred itself just before we went on the air. Do you know what FUBAR stands for?
That's a...
Google it.
Well, it's a good movie if you want to...
It's under Urban Dictionary.
If you want to go back in time.
So we had a panic and we had guys running around trying to fix this thing. We got it fixed. I was not able to share from my Facebook feed. So we'll do that in our first break. Where the hell was I? What was my point? I didn't really have one. So listen, we're going to get to the CFL postponing its training camps. Why? Well, obviously this is it's a big deal. But I saw on Facebook, I just opened my Facebook all of a sudden, boom, because most of my friends and people that I follow are CFL fans and people. And people are going, oh, it's serious now. The CFL's postponed training camp. Oh, my take on it. Good for the CFL for taking action. Good for the CFL for being visible and making a statement. But it's 6 weeks away in a situation that is changing by the minute, by the hour, at the most by the day. How are you going to say what's going to happen in 6 weeks? Yeah. So I applaud the move by the CFL, but I'm not panicking. And it's in my Elite Eight show topics. It's one of my topics in the Elite Eight here. And that is, are you optimistic about CFL training camp starting on time? Quite frankly, I still am. But I mean, Randy Ambrosi and the team owners and presidents are dealing with government officials, disease control officials. So I believe that the fate of the CFL is obviously in good hands, but I'm not running around panicking right now.
Yeah, and that's a good spot to be in. I mean, the CFL had to come out and probably say something because you have to have that expectation of, are we starting on time? Are we not? And as of right now, in the current situation we're in, you can't start the season. So that's important. For the players, I think it's important to have that kind of clarification too, because, you know, they're doing their best right now to make sure they stay in game shape and stay ready for training camp and do all of those things. But they almost need a training camp to get ready for training camp. You know, you see players start to ramp up their offseason conditioning to make sure they're ready for camp, because that's your opportunity to battle for 3 weeks for a job for a lot of guys. So you need to have that that window before camp. You can't just come out and say, okay, on Monday we can start camps again, because you have a bunch of players going to camp that aren't ready and potentially that could lead to injuries and whatnot. So, but it's no need to panic yet. We'll find out, you know, on a week by week basis, probably with the CFL, where things are at.
So much to delve into there, but I want to get to the Elite Eight show topics right now. And as I mentioned, in those topics, one of them is the CFL training camps, but number one is simply our weekends. Didn't go too far like everybody else. Barbecued Sass Snow Beef on Friday. That was amazing. Spent most of the weekend reading Ron Snyder's book on the Baltimore Stallions. I'm over halfway through the book. So, frankly, being housebound is not a concern to me. I enjoy it. I like it. I like reading. Not everybody in my family is the same way, but if you want to put me in a room by myself, I could read for days, and I'd be a happy guy.
Yeah.
But one thing it reminded me of that I wanted to tell you was, which I never stopped to think, this past year, leaving my last job, has been such a great year of reflection, and going back and going, holy smokes, I was on the sidelines for Rider radio broadcasts when I was 18 years old in 1991. I never stopped to think about that.
Right.
I was working in the CFL getting a paycheck at 18.
That's impressive.
There's not a lot of people that can say that.
No.
And of all those years, that was a full 9 seasons before I was the voice of the Riders. It was a long time. And the one thing that I remember has nothing to do with the Baltimore Stallions, but it was 1991. The Argos were in town. John Candy, Rocket Ismail, and the Argos. And part of my role not only was reporting on the visiting sidelines, but was helping out the visiting radio. So back then, it was 1050, but it was Talk 1050 or something, was the radio station. And I had to hand the cell phone to the coach of the Argos so the play-by-play guy could interview him over the phone. Some teams are just doing that now. They were doing it way back in 91. But I just remember this, as the sideline guy, John Candy was there as the owner of the team, standing on the sidelines. Folks, take yourselves back to 1991, would you? Get in the DeLorean. I'm standing there looking at him like, oh my God. It's Uncle Buck. It's Del Griffiths. This is right in the peak of those movies. There wasn't a bigger star, both literally and figuratively, on the planet than John Candy.
Yeah.
And he was 6 feet away from me.
How cool is that?
And by the way, you want to know how big he was? He was like a fridge in a suit. Like,
and larger
enormous.
Than life. Yeah.
Well, and he was looking at me very untrustingly, but get used to it, working in the media. Now, think about this for a second. Apparently, the night before the game, he was in the South Keg in the lounge, laughing it up, partying, closed the place down. There's still photos of it. And I would have loved to have been there, but I was 18, not even old enough to get in.
He just missed it by a couple of years.
So again, these are things I never stopped to think about until after 30 years in the business, standing back and going, whoa. Done a lot.
Right. There's
a lot of cool stories in there.
That's cool.
And then, of course, Tiger King, which we could do 4 hours on Tiger King. We stopped with one episode. People immediately started laughing in the bunker here. It's our staff, by the way, on Tiger King. That's it. What, your weekend?
Yeah.
You did a little driving, I understand?
Did a little driving. Went to Fort Qu'Appelle. Tried to do the distance coffee thing in the car with mom and dad. They were kind of going crazy. So we did that. We met halfway. So it was really nice. We each picked up, you bring your own coffee. And we literally pulled up beside each other in the cars, however far apart. And we just talked through the cars. And
it was like a drive-in.
It was like a drive-in. And it was actually pretty nice. I really enjoyed it. I mean, obviously, that's who you miss the most, your family, right? And your friends, the people you don't get to see on a daily basis. So it was super nice. We actually sat there for a couple of hours and just visited and hung out in the valley. It was a beautiful day. And then drove back. It was a nice drive, And then the rest of the time, I mean, spending time inside is, doing some work and things like that. And catching my episode a day of Tiger King, too, so.
Well, and John Kirby's watching in Edmonton. He says, no, Tiger King, please. God, no. from Phil Thompson, writing it on Facebook, I've seen nothing but Tiger King memes, so it must be good. Listen, I'll just say one thing. I was telling the boys here in our pre-show meeting that in the sixth episode, which is the last we've seen, there's only one more. This is a guy who's married two men at once, so they were in a throuple, three men married together. Not a big deal, as Clark says. Supplying drugs to one of them just to keep him hooked and keep him on the grounds. 237 tigers on his property. Carries a six shooter on his hip at all times. Somebody asked him, why do you need that? He said, for people, not for tigers. And I don't know, country singer, as you said, he has a gift shop with barbecue sauce, but I'm not going to get through all that. Sex, gel, CDs, da-da-da-da-da. But anyways, in the sixth episode, one of the people interviewed goes, well, when Joe Exotic's youngest husband died, that's when he really went nuts. I looked at my wife, how more nuts can this guy get? So I'm waiting for the seventh episode.
When
the
was
best,
he,
saving the best for last.
When was he shooting? The people? Remember, he shoot the mother-in-law or whatever. Run, run.
He and he was high shooting. It was a pellet gun. Who didn't shoot at each other with a pellet gun? Did you not do that? We all did that.
Yeah.
Wasn't a 22 caliber.
The little BB gun, exactly.
Why do you need the gun? If you're not mean to animals, why do you need the gun? People. I can't get enough. Okay, moving on. Getting serious. Number two, Darren DuPont might be ahead of his time, and I wouldn't be the first to say that. As I watched ESPN this morning, the NBA is considering the idea of what they're calling bubble cities, which you proposed last week, 10 days ago even.
Yeah.
Keep the players isolated, keep them in a bubble, designate four or five different arenas and get the league started again and start playing. Get the regular season going, get into the playoffs. And you said that, right?
Yeah.
Quarantine a team.
Yeah.
Right. So they're actually seeing if this is feasible. And I wonder if the NHL will follow, maybe even the CFL. I understand these are all, those are my suggestions, but the NBA is talking about it. So do you think they could do this?
Yeah, I think they could. I wonder if they'd have to get 100% buy-in from the players. Because you hear Gary Bettman talk about the 100-year history of the Stanley Cup and the integrity of the playoffs. Well, if Sidney Crosby says, you know what, I don't feel comfortable leaving my family, or Alexander Ovechkin can't get back to the United States if he's over in Russia, or, you know, Braden Point and Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov are like, we don't want to leave our families. So, but everybody else is in. Does it mean the same if you don't have everybody, right? Does it hold the integrity? I think you'd have to get 100% buy-in. But I think you could absolutely do it. Absolutely.
Well, there's no handbook for this. As I said way back at the start of this, we're trusting the leaders of the leagues, the government officials, the disease control specialists to do what's best. I had an NHL personnel guy say to me on the phone last week, he goes, why the hell would they let the Europeans go back to Europe? What happens when they close the borders and they can't get back in? If we were to resume playing, why would they let them leave? I don't know. There's no handbook for it. We just have to trust the people that have been put in those positions. So moving on to point three, LeBron has come out and said he is against this. He doesn't want to be away from his family, doesn't want to play in empty arenas. My question to you and to our viewers is, does LeBron have a responsibility to just go along with what the league tells him to do? Because I kind of think that he does. I know he's the biggest star in the league, and he's going against what they might do.
He's walking a very fine line because he's the one guy, if you wanted to pick one guy, that has a big enough brand and a big enough and has big enough influence where he can stand up and he can actually make change on his own. We often need big numbers to make change and really enact a movement. He can do it on his own. He only needs one. So if he feels strongly enough about it, and if it's that important and the owners and the leagues are putting players in compromising situations or taking advantage of them, he has a responsibility to stand up because he's the one guy who can make that difference. But he also has a responsibility to the game of basketball and to the league that if there's a way to do this and it's going to help so many people and the league's going to survive and thrive, he has a responsibility there too.
Donald Mitchell writes in from Ottawa. He is with the Royal Canadian Navy. He says the bubble cities will be all in the States. Canada is not going to open the border to U.S. players. Cool. He would know more than I would while working with the Navy. I'm just telling you what they're talking about. Well, let's see. There's seven NHL teams in Canada, so maybe the NHL can't follow suit. I'm just putting out what they're talking about.
And think about this. They're playing in empty arenas anyway, so they don't play games in Toronto. The Leafs will still have a home game, but they'll play it in the Pepsi Center in Colorado, or they'll play it in New York at Madison Square Gardens. They just won't play in Toronto. They don't need it's. It becomes all neutral site games anyway because there's no fans.
Moving on to point four of our Elite Eight show topics here in the rollout for Flooring Superstore, and I say good morning to the Dickens from Flooring Superstore who are watching. I know home. Almost done their quarantine of 14 days after returning from Florida. This is the rollout for Flooring Superstore. I announced my own personal personal economic stimulus package last week that when this lifts, I'm going immediately to Flooring Superstore to get flooring for our entire second floor. Not here, our house. Now, point four, who's the number one CFL draft prospect? I don't know. But we're bringing on Justin Dunk a little later from 3downnation.com. He'll know. He'll at least have a handle. It's just interesting with the CFL draft, and I think that the more we talk about it leading up to the April 30th draft, it's a good thing for the CFL that we do. The fact that nobody knows who the number one prospect is isn't a good thing, yet you never know who it's going to be.
No, you often don't.
Because of the uniqueness of the CFL draft.
Well, yeah, it's very unique. You don't know what players are going to come from NCAA that you think are going to be available and not get drafted to the NFL or not sign in the NFL. Yeah, it's very unique. But I do. I'm with you. I wish there was a little more publicity on these guys. I wish you talked about them a little bit more because it does matter. And especially the Canadian offensive lineman that comes through the draft is very important to the CFL.
Jack Fulton's watching in Calgary. He says LeBron's first responsibility under a worldwide pandemic is his family. Really good point. Who's to tell him what he needs to go along with or not? Thank you, Jack, for injecting some sense into the conversation. Moving on to point five, we see the announcement that drug testing in the CFL and U Sports has been put on hold amid the pandemic. Cue the Andrew Harris jokes, which I saw on social media about the Winnipeg Blue Bomber running back. People saying, oh, he's safe now. When this does resume, is Andrew Harris's PED suspension behind him and the stigma that goes along with it, or is it going to carry him forever like an A-Rod? What do you think?
I think this is going to get behind him a lot faster than an A-Rod situation. I really do. It'll depend on where he continues to go, where his career continues to go. I mean, if he comes out, unfortunately, and just goes straight down off the deep end and is next to irrelevant and puts up no numbers, that'll be the rhetoric and that'll be some of the conversation. Well, I guess it was just the PEDs, and he couldn't actually continue this up. He's also getting older, too. But if he continues to play well, I mean, in my mind, I think it's behind us now, as far as I'm concerned. But the fans are the ones who will decide that.
Right. Right.
They'll decide.
I mean, I don't know Andrew Harris. I've been around Andrew Harris in my time. This is what I can tell you about Andrew Harris. The Blue Bombers and the people of Winnipeg seem to absolutely love him. And when the Bombers reached out to me back in the playoffs or in last fall and said, why are we still talking about this? Rod, he served his time. That's how they feel. If they didn't back him and like him, they'd say you're on your own.
Yeah.
You only do that for people that you really love and respect. So that they obviously do for Andrew Harris. But one thing I did say to the Bombers is what you just said. You can't control how the court of public opinion is going to handle this. I'm ready to move on. I don't really care. I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm ready to move on. I'm not going to be making the jokes that other people are. But neither I nor the Bombers can control what people are going to say.
You can't.
So my guess or suggestion is just move on. And we will to point six. Bull Levi Mitchell telling Farhan that he has a chip on his shoulder going into the season because the haters are saying that he's over the hill and with his shoulder surgery, he won't be the same guy. Does Bo Levi not always play with a chip on his shoulder? And by the way, I think he's taking this quarantine self-isolation a little too seriously because he still hasn't responded to my foot bounce challenge yet.
I'm waiting.
Over to you.
I'm still waiting. On a daily basis, I'm checking back. Did he do it yet? Has he done it yet?
Come on, Bo.
Maybe he got nominated by somebody else and he's using that as a way to get it done. I don't know. But, yeah, he always plays with a chip on his shoulder. And if you're in the CFL, especially in the West, that's a dangerous position to be in, being an opponent of that. Because if Bo Levi is motivated and he's at home working right now and he's ready to go and he has something to prove, Calgary's going to be Calgary again. And they're not going to take a step back. So that's scary for the rest of the CFL. But, yeah, he's got some questions to answer after the shoulder stuff.
Great CFL fan Miranda Foster's watching. She says some fans are just rude. Bo Levi is a crybaby. I'm not sure to whom she's referring. Yeah, you're not going to change people. I saw a WHL coach a number of years ago in an interview implore the fans of his town to lay off his players on social media because the players are having a tough time with it. I wanted to pick up the phone and call him and say, Coach, you're not going to change people. As a matter of fact, all you're doing is telling those haters that they're getting to your players. You need to condition your players to not let it affect them.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand I'm, you know, the fish swimming upstream in this whole thing. Forget it. Whatever. We are six topics through the Elite Eight show topics, and I ain't even done yet. But we're going to break. Come back with a sports update. Mike Abumetric will be joining us on video chat. We'll get into the rest of these topics. This is the rollout. Thanks for joining us, everybody, for coffee here on this Monday morning. We'll be right back. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Facebook Live coming soon this spring to Game Plus TV Network. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi, neighbor. Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup and delivery at no extra charge, and we've increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Monday morning. Show continues. Sports update time. Just ahead of that, though, hey, the Andrew Harris comment brought people right out of the woodwork. You know, they're just sitting at home. They're waiting. Waiting,
oh, yeah.
They're waiting to make their comments. Doesn't take much. It's like waving a match over a tank of gasoline.
Yep.
I enjoy holding the match very much. The Tokyo Olympics will open next year in the same time slot scheduled for this year's games. Tokyo organizers said today the opening ceremony will take place on July 23rd, 2021, almost exactly 1 year after the games were due to start this year. Last week, the IOC and Japanese organizers postponed the Olympics until 2021 because of the coronavirus pandemic. You'll like this one. With most sports around the world shutting down because of the pandemic, longtime Belarus president Alexander Lukashenko is proudly keeping soccer and hockey arenas open. The Eastern European nation of nearly 9.5 million people even started a whole new soccer season this month as coronavirus cases rose. The move has the full support of Lukashenko, who took to the ice in an amateur hockey tournament on Saturday with a few hundred spectators in the stands.
What?
Just news to travel slowly to Belarus, apparently.
I guess so.
Red Bull motorsport advisor Helmut Marko has promised... I don't know what he looks like. I envision he's got long blonde hair. He's about 5 foot, 8.5, and thick.
No. All right.
Clark says no.
He Googled him.
Oh, no, that's not what he looks like?
No.
The guy's name is Helmut Marko. What do you think he looks like?
He's 76.
Oh, he's 76 years old.
He had long blonde hair.
He had long blonde hair. Okay. I kind of envision him looking like the lead singer of Def Leppard. Anyways, Red Bull Motorsport advisor Helmut Marko has proposed holding a training camp where Formula One drivers could get infected by coronavirus, an idea that's been rejected by the Red Bull Racing team. Marko told Australian public broadcaster ORF on Sunday he wanted to gather drivers while the F1 season was suspended. That's your Monday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination, but closed temporarily, along with their brother restaurant, The Tap, although The Tap's liquor store is still open. And for Red Bull Canada, thank you, Red Bull Canada, for jumping on board the RP show. Watch out for the Red Bull Wings team to make an appearance at some of the RP show on-location events throughout the summer. Red Bull is launching a new Peach Edition, which is exclusively available at 7-Eleven and Loblaws Superstore and No Frills. Red Bull gives you wings. What's going on your phone? You're making that thing sing.
Got to make it sing. Getting some photos.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was at a news conference with Pinball Clemens. I had my BlackBerry going. Remember how BlackBerries had the raised buttons?
Oh, yeah.
Not like on the screen?
Yep.
And Pinball's talking, and I'm... And when it was over, he came over and he goes, man, you're making that BlackBerry sing. I said, I was live blogging what you were saying, Pinball. It's not that I wasn't paying attention to you. I was typing as you were talking. He goes, man, you're fast. What'd I do? Moving on with our show topics. Actually, this is very apropos because it goes to the number one sports item in the land today. CFL training camps were set to open May 17th. CFL Commissioner Randy Ambrosi saying in a statement that they have been postponed indefinitely. What I had written in my notes was, are you optimistic that they'll open May 17th? I might still ask if you're optimistic that they may open May 17th. I mean, it's 6 weeks away. We're still in March. I think this is the prudent, responsible move by the CFL. But I also knew that it would cause panic amongst the fan base. I saw it myself on Facebook. CFL can't control that, the way people are going to react to things. Here's the statement from Randy Ambrosi. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, I do.
As of today, the opening of CFL training camps will be postponed. The ongoing global pandemic and the resulting directives issued by various governments make it unsafe to proceed with plans to gather our athletes and coaches together as scheduled. As for our future plans, we are in the hands of our public health officials, the advice they are providing governments, and the directives those governments are issuing to all of us, and we acknowledge their timetable will be dictated by the virus itself. We will make further decisions when we can and share them with our fans and the public as soon as possible. The CFL and its member clubs would like to take this opportunity to thank our fans, partners, players, prospects, coaches, and staff for their dedication and patience as we face this challenge. We're facing it together, even if we have to be physically apart. An additional thank you to everyone doing their part to fight the virus. Please wash your hands, stay home, and practice social distancing. The sooner we stop the spread, the sooner we can get back to normal and back to football. Finally, but most importantly, we want to express our gratitude to the people on the front lines of healthcare and the supply chain, your hard and courageous work to inform us, feed us, and care for us, our communities, and our loved ones makes you our champions. We at the CFL are pragmatic optimists. Our pragmatism dictates that, unfortunately, training camps cannot go forward as scheduled, but our optimism remains strong. We continue to look forward to a CFL season and the Grey Cup. Signed, Randy Ambrosi, Commissioner, Canadian Football League. You couldn't have worded that better. You couldn't.
No, he
makes
didn't.
A lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
But it's similar to the Tokyo Games. It's not that we're afraid that the virus is going to infect everybody in the stadium and everybody's going to die. It's from a scheduling standpoint. We don't know where this is going to go. So in the case of Tokyo, because it's so much grander, quite frankly.
Yep.
We're going to postpone it a year. And for the CFL to say we're going to postpone it indefinitely, it's just a responsible, prudent thing to do. Doesn't mean it can't change tomorrow.
It absolutely can change tomorrow.
Right.
You're right. You're 100% right. And it's just like the Olympics. And the Olympics had a date in their own mind, and they finally said, you know what, we're going to postpone it. Because you need a certain amount of time to make sure you're preparing, make sure the athletes are preparing to be
right
at their best, all of those things. So, you know, I'll be interested to ask Justin Dunk, because he played the game at a high level. But I would think, in my own mind, we have about 3 weeks. I think we have about 3 weeks to decide if the training camps are going to open on time, because you need, the players need time to prepare for those camps, make sure their bodies are in shape, make sure they're, you know, and kind of ready for camp, because your body's going to go through a lot of the wear and tear, and you got to be able to withstand that and, you know, not take on a bunch of injuries and whatnot. I would think, you know, 2 to 3 weeks they would need to make sure they're ready to go for camp for sure, because they're all doing their part to stay in shape as it is. I would think we've got 3 weeks before we would know for sure that they're going to be delayed, but Justin would know a little bit.
Well, and you, like everybody else, are making a guess.
Exactly.
Let's go to the video chat. Very popular Monday segment, of course. No, we're not.
He left. Sorry.
Oh, Mike. He left?
He just disconnected.
Oh, we had Mike Abu-Meshrick, and then he disconnected. What the heck? We had it scheduled right at 10:30.
Maybe
Mountain.
He was mad that I said I'd ask Justin Duncan, not Mike Abu-Meshrick, how much time he'd need to get ready for camp.
So he's back?
Not yet.
He's not back. Well, that reminds me, by the way, on one hand, I would prefer not to bring in everybody via video chat. However, when I watch ESPN every morning, that's what they're doing. One guy in the middle and then four guys outside all at home on the video. And today, Dan Orlovsky, the 12-year NFL quarterback, got up from his chair and walked out in the middle of the shot. And you know that the producer, whether it's a guy like Jordan or Clark, sitting there going, no, don't do anything. He didn't know that he was on camera.
Yeah.
It's like, don't drop your pants. Don't swear. Don't.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So, but you know what? I sit there every morning and watch it and thoroughly enjoy it. So guess our viewers will have the same thing with our viewers on video chat.
They love it.
The only problem is because Clark has moved from this side of the wall to observe social distancing away from our director, Jordan. He's now right in the bunker with us, way, way at the far end. There you see him. And that's Ryan, our technical producer, 10 feet away at least. But I can't hear Clark in my ear because you can't talk to me, right? So there's no Abu.
He's ready.
Now there is Abu. Okay. We're all camping. We're all making do.
Yes.
And we welcome the very popular analyst of this program, Mike Abu-Meshrick, from his palatial South Regina estate. Bring him in, boys. Hey, there he is. I've been in that office. How you doing, Abu?
Oh, fantastic. It's a big holiday.
You're going the wrong way. We'd like to see your face. Can you move it down? Yeah, I guess stand up if you want to. There you go. I apologize to those listening at rodpeterson.com/listen live. You're not catching this comedy as it rolls here on a Monday morning.
It's very Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, he's sliding off his chair. Okay, Abu, get serious. You couldn't you honestly couldn't dive into the pool for this interview? I'm disappointed.
Man, this summer's going to be great. I'm not going to leave my house. I'm going to have the pool going. Gonna be fantastic.
Right to the right of Abu is his beautiful pool. He's got a yard very there. He's gonna show us very similar to Jack's.
I was gonna say,
look, there it is.
Wherever Abu is, I want to be, because that sun is like 10,000 degrees on the side of his face.
He's got a gigantic yard. Like, I can't even imagine what the square footage of that lot is, with a huge pool, and he's actually showing it to us on video. Thank you, Abu. I appreciate that. See what we got for people on a Monday morning? Just good old-fashioned, wholesome entertainment. Thanks, Abu.
What's going on, guys? How's it over there in the bunker?
You're upside down. Okay.
Are we on yet?
Yep, we've been on for a good 5 minutes. I appreciate your humor and all the rest. Abu, let's start with the news of the day. I got a lot of questions for you, and our viewers will too. The news this morning, the CFL has postponed training camps indefinitely. What was your first thought when you heard that?
I think that's the responsible thing to do, is postpone things indefinitely. See, out here in Saskatchewan, outside in the prairies, I think we're in a very, very different situation than some of the bigger centers. I could see, you know, the Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal markets not playing sports until, you know, until the summer's over. But out here on the prairies, where it's a little easier to social distance ourselves, I think it's going to be a very different situation. So while we're out here on the prairies waiting and being, you know, I might feel like, oh, come on, let's just get after it. They've got some real big problems and big concerns in the bigger centers that are far beyond sports.
I'm actually glad that you brought that up, because I was thinking about that this morning. I mean, where I grew up, you could see for miles before you saw the next closest. Miles. How much are you keeping in touch with your family and friends in Toronto, the most populous city in this country, with how they're making out with things? And what's life like for them?
You know, all you really can do is laugh and joke about this, you know, but it's very much as serious. I was kidding around with my buddy in Toronto the other day saying, hey, you got a week. If you want to come and stay out here, I'll give you a week. After that, I think we're going to shut down our borders and keep all you infected people out. Like I said, I think that is a real concern. I mean, social distancing can't be a thing when you live. I grew up on the 24th floor of an apartment building that had probably 200,000 people, you know, packed in onto 24 floors, and you're all breathing the same air, you're all touching the same elevator buttons. It's inevitable. So not to bring a doomsday theory to it, but the sports that I'm most concerned with are, I got a big match this afternoon with my son on the front lawn. I beat him yesterday 5-1 in a mini soccer match that he's really going to come after me today. I know it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm guarantee that you're appreciating the family time. So for those that can find a positive in it, that's what we're all trying to do. One other thing, just what do you think about the NBA's talk of bubble cities that they, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but this is what I heard this morning on ESPN. The NBA having 4, 5, 6 arenas, keeping the teams quarantined and getting back to playing. Reason being television revenue stimulate. Right. He's right there. The money. But you're a money guy. Follow me on this. This is my question.
I'm not a money guy. Economics is a social science. It's how does people behave with money? So if you follow the money, you're going to know how people are going to behave. Flip it on TSN, flip it on Sportsnet. I mean, they're playing games. I mean, there's only so many times they can play the Raptors beating Philly and the bounce game. There's only so many times, you know, you can watch the greatest game ever, the 2007 Grey Cup. They got to come up with something. Soccer was doing it, or the Italian League was doing it before, you know, the stuff really hit the fans and having empty stadium games. I'm watching them all now. You know, the WWE is doing it with WrestleMania and in empty venues. So, I mean, the when I grew up, and the CFL is very much a ticket-driven, as far as a revenue point of view, they need the gate. Other leagues in North America aren't such. They have billion-dollar TV revenues, and nobody's paying for an ad on TSN right now because nobody's watching TSN. So they got to get some sort of content out there, and how to do it. I mean, you know, lock guys into, do what we're doing, you know, having that one-on-one on the front yard, except it's not me and my son, it's, you know, it's Ovechkin against Crosby, you know, self-isolate these people with cameras around them. There's an idea for a TV show. There you go.
It's funny you said that, Abu. There has been talk of Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson secretly working to plan a one-on-one golf match, you know, during all of this without any fans. So it's the same idea you're talking about.
Well, but my point on
watching.
Right, they are. But my point on this is this: corporate America is what makes pro sports go. And being, however you want to talk about what you do, you're a financial guy. Without bringing too many people down, what's happened to corporate America? We're all talking about sports, but corporate America drives the sports. Has it not just been completely obliterated?
Nobody foresaw, other than a few people that could get really in a lot of trouble, no one foresaw the global economy coming to a halt. Nobody saw that. So if we're all in the same boat, we're all in the same boat. Where corporations come out, I mean, I'm going to do the silver lining here. A lot of the corporations bought back a lot of their stock at really, really cheap prices. And now, as the market bounces back, they have the opportunity to put it back out there and make more money. There's obviously more that goes to that. But how do I want to say this to be politically? Yeah, this does not make sense in the frame of capitalism. It's to make money and then do what you want of it, not, you know, give everyone a tax break, make everyone get all this kind of stuff. So I guess what I'm saying is that corporate America, they'll be there and they've been forced to restructure and get rid of a lot of the redundancies and things that they're doing inefficiently when markets are going well, that you kind of get lazy. This is they're buckling their shoe straps. Is that the phrase I'm looking for? And seeing what's worth it and what's not. Like I just said, do we really need gate revenue? Does the NHL really care if they make, you know, what do they make, $400,000, $500,000 or less than that? I don't know, $300,000 for great revenue when they're making $1 billion by us watching the game on TV, and then now they can sell the ads and stuff on that. So yeah, follow the money, and that's what Darren was saying. I think that's where most of the leagues will be going to, because I do not see the bigger centers functioning at all. Forget about sports, you know. So maybe we bring the Bombers, the Riders, obviously the Stamps and the Eskimos, and we lock them all into Mosaic Stadium, and they have a tournament. You know, maybe something like that happens. I don't see that happening in the CFL, but they got the bucks south of the border to make that happen. But it wouldn't be in a big center. I don't see it. It'd be in a smaller center where there's just not a lot of people to touch elevator buttons and stuff.
Well, it's a fun discussion, and that's why I wanted to bring this up to you. As a 10-year pro athlete, you have some thoughts on this that I'm interested to get. I mean, LeBron has come out and said, I'm against this. I'm against the bubble cities. I'm against playing in empty stadiums. He's worried about the safety. He doesn't think it would be any fun. My question in the earlier on topics that I'll just put to you now is, does he have a responsibility to just go along with whatever he's told by the NBA?
No. Whoa. Again, this is martial law allows people to put their own rules in place, and I'm not cool with that at all. So, Mr. NBA, whatever, I got a contract. LeBron has a contract to play NBA. That's 5-on-5. That's in Cleveland, but wherever the hell he wants to play this year, that's his contract, and you're obliged to this contract. Not to play in some random bubble city or nothing like this. Now you're telling me what to do, and I don't believe in that sort of communism. Call it socialism, whatever you want to call it. You have a contract, that's what you're obliged for. Where now, what I see is guys coming together saying, all right, anyone that wants to play basketball, here's what we're going to do. We're going to ship you guys here and then do a draft and have a true all-star type performance. Because you're not going to get every single guy wanting to play. You know, there's some guys that have the disease. Some guys' parents have the disease or virus, whatever it's going to be called. I don't see it being, the Cleveland Cavaliers against the L.A. Lakers. I see it as some sort of hodgepodge of, I don't know. Let's throw that out there. What would be cool? Where you're from? The Northeast, the Southeast, global? That'd be fun. And then break that into areas of the country. So you have different tournaments and different leagues, and at the end of the year, maybe they all come together at some tournament or something. You know, this could be really fun.
Well, they're just trying to find a way, back to my original question, to get on the air, period. Right.
Call whatever you want. They need to make money.
Right. That's what they're trying to do, any possible way. And you know the CFL sitting there figuring the same thing out. Safety of fans and players and staff paramount, yes, but also they're a business. And there's nothing wrong with making money. What are you doing? Did your shoelaces come on? Oh, it's your dog?
Yeah, he's deaf.
Hi, Disco. He's deaf.
No,
he can't hear me.
Disco's dead. This is Tigger.
This is Tigger.
Okay. He's not dead.
All right. What are you doing at that house?
That's Disco over there.
Ah, right. The Joe Exotic of dogs. Look at that. He's got a fish tank. You're Joe Exotic. Do you have Netflix?
What? What is this thing?
Okay.
Speak up. I can't hear.
Last question for you. Last question for you. I'm sorry. Here's one I saw. NBC Sports put this out on Twitter, and I just want to ask it to you randomly. What's the one stadium you went into and you were most in awe of? And everybody think about it, because I want everybody's answer, including our viewers as well. But off the top of your head, what's the one stadium that you were, or arena or whatever, that you were in awe of?
There was two of them. Iverwind Stadium, because Angela Mosca, I loved wrestling growing up, and seeing his name up there made me feel like, you know, Hulk Hogan or something like that. As well as they have a lot of unique characters in the fans there. They are the ones that said, "Hey, Abu, if you're here, who's watching the Quickie Mart?" Probably the best taunt of all time. The
was
other
pretty
one
good.
Was Calgary. Calgary. You walk in, and the reason why there is because, you know, Doug Flutie's name's up there, and Dave Sapunjis, who is a Western guy, who, you know, I read everything of every team that I played for. And so I've been around, I've never met him, but I've been around his name as holding a lot of Western records. I love that pregame, looking up and seeing all those names. You know, Anastakis was the name that kind of stuck out as in BC.
Anastukis, but continue.
Whatever. it just stuff that made me feel part of something much, much, much bigger and greater than I was. And, you know, you miss that when you're not playing sports as much. I mean, as much as you're part of a family, but, you know, that extended part that you matter. That's what I loved about sports. And that's why I like going to those different venues, because they weren't just, you know, bricks and mortar and AstroTurf. They were where legends were made.
Well, Abu, you're one of them. I miss having you in here for sure, but I appreciate you making time for us. Say hey to the kids for me and Tigger, and we'll chat soon. Thank you.
I need a Winnipeg Blue Bomber helmet, Brad. Hook your brother up.
Yes, you do. What about Lumpy?
Listen.
Oh, Brad Foddy. Yeah. I got it. Can we get Abu a bomber helmet? Can we make that happen? Thanks, Mike.
Love you. Stay safe, everyone.
Appreciate it. That was, look at this guy, flexing. He did that without his shirt on in Amalie Arena in Tampa Bay one night. Just stood up and did that, what you just saw.
Wow.
Anyways, I knew that would be a great interview. It surpassed my expectations. It did. Thank you, Abu, for that. I'm reading some of our viewers' comments on the greatest stadium they were ever in, that they were in awe of. Monty says the new Riders Stadium and Rogers Place in Edmonton. Mike Booth is watching in Fort McMurray, Alberta today. He says University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. And then the comment slipped off the feed or the wall. He had another one, but I can't. I've lost it now. I've got my thoughts on that. Randy in Cochrane, Alberta says Maple Leaf Gardens. Interesting that Abu's two would be CFL stadiums, Iverwin in Hamilton and McMahon in Calgary. I'll say it again. I wasn't in awe of McMahon Stadium in Calgary, but I loved going there every single time that I did. I have to put some thought into that, and NBC Sports tweeted it. I thought it would be a great question for today.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. Gord Archibald is watching in Regina. He says, Old Comiskey Park in Chicago. Lots of baseball history. Janelle Barkman's watching from Saskatoon. She says, Atlanta Falcons Stadium. Unreal. Is that the Mercedes Stadium you're talking about?
Oh, that thing is so nice.
What were you doing there, Janelle, and why didn't you invite me? John Kirby in Edmonton says, the stadium in Vegas is so nice. Well, that would be, he's talking about Reliance Stadium. The home of the Raiders hasn't opened yet. T-Mobile's pretty cool. So let's think about that. I invite all of your comments. And I'm sorry to cut you off. What did you
have? No, no. When we get to, I got lots of thoughts. Because that happens to me all the time. Almost every arena I go into, I'm in awe for different reasons. Right? Everywhere along the way. So trying to plan this out. Every stage of my career, my growth in life, I've had a new moment. But there's like three or four.
We got to pause. We'll be right back with your answers to this. On the way, Justin Dunk, Solomon Elamimian, and Connor Falk, XFL writer. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Facebook Live coming this spring to Game Plus TV Network. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand dry and inspect every vehicle for a top quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Episode number 203 of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show continues. We really got it rolling with our question. What's your the stadium you were most in awe of when you walked in? Our viewer, regular viewer Mike Lee, has written in. He says, good morning. I'm sorry I'm late. What did I miss? We go to air at 10 a.m. Mountain, Mike, every day. There's no excuses to be late. What did you miss? CFL training camps have been postponed. You know that, Mike. And Randy Ambrosi announcing that this morning. And our thoughts on it, Mike Gabumeshwar gave us some great thoughts on the financial crisis. Because we can fart around with sports all we want. Mm-hmm. It's still toyland compared to corporate America. And Abu had some great thoughts on that, so you'll have to go back and watch it. Cooper Campbell, football guy, watching from Mississippi right now. He says, you guys will like Hard Rock. The plans to go to Miami on our second RP show VIP sports trip. That was the plan, to go to Miami. Obviously, everything's changed. Hard Rock Stadium. I've been there before, and it's great. But he says, Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta is the Taj Mahal. Absolutely off the charts. And I'm going to get to my answer to the question, the stadium that I'm most in awe of. I'll just ask the guys to put Trent Bruner's comment up on my monitor here, if you don't mind. Trent in Norway chiming in. I'll say mine. And it's new Mosaic Stadium in Regina. That is not what I'm prodded to say. That's not what I think I should say. After calling so many games in Old Taylor Field, it was not comfortable. It was disgusting. Every single game you went up there, you were looking to see what type of dead wildlife there would be on your desk or under your desk or on the carpet somewhere. A dead pigeon, a dead mouse. It was horrible. So there's that. And then to walk into new Mosaic Stadium, every single time that I walk in there, I'm in awe. I just stand and look around. And I have this Saskatchewan mentality that we all have that we probably need to get over, where you say, A, this doesn't feel like it belongs here. And B, we don't deserve this. Damn it, we do. And to have been part of the crew to help build that thing with legacy and so forth, to this day, I don't care, as a broadcaster, as a fan, every time, it's not so much driving by it, I'm used to that, but walking in it, I'm in awe every single time. Yeah. And I'm just as happy, by the way, to go in and sit in the crowd as I am to be in the press box. When I was talking earlier about doing the sidelines for the Riders back in 91 when I started and meeting John Candy, that was the best of times back then, because I didn't do every game. I'd do maybe 4 or 5 a year. And the other 4 or 5 a year, I'd be with my friends or my family out in the crowd. I had the best of both worlds.
Wow.
It was great.
That's cool.
Your stadium.
I still get that. Yeah, when you drive down Sask Drive and you look into the big mosaic, that's still breathtaking. I have a few, but as a kid, it was the Elgar Peterson Arena. I mean, as a kid growing up...
It's amazing.
Up,
home of the Humboldt Broncos.
Yeah, in a small town of less than 2,000 people, you're playing in these small rinks and some lots with natural ice, and you get an opportunity to play in Humboldt, which in that circle was the big city. It's like, oh my God, this is it. And then all of a sudden, you go to your first Pats game at the Agrodome, and you're like, no, wait, this is it. That was cool.
Right.
And then as an adult, I mean, going into Vancouver to the GM place, I think, for my first NHL game, was in awe of that. But then in terms of NHL circles, and you know, you don't think of Rexall Arena as that awe, you know, jaw-dropping place. But all the banners that were hanging up in that place and how big, you know, the ceiling and everything is, it's just the memories. And that for me is what I remember being in awe of arenas. You sit there and you just look around for the first half the period before you start watching the hockey game.
Yep. Well, I've been in a few, and we went to Northlands back when it was called Northlands, then Skyreach, which Clark said I think was his first NHL arena. I remember looking around going, this place is a dump. Mm-hmm. And that was in the early 80s. Yeah, I get the sheer size of it. It's still run down and old. I like the newness of stadiums. And walking into MetLife in East Rutherford, New Jersey was pretty cool, too. It's like Mosaic Stadium times 4. But Mosaic Stadium in Regina is like an optical illusion. It looks way bigger than it actually is for 33,000. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's really actually technically smaller than the old place. Technically.
Yeah.
IG Field in Winnipeg, for all you Bomber fans that are watching today, of which there have been many. They've all been chiming in about our Andrew Harris point earlier, which was point 5 of our Elite 8 show topics today. I said, you know, when we do get back to things here, is Andrew Harris going to be forgiven? He is in Winnipeg. There's no doubt. Shoot, he was forgiven at the time. But I'm just talking about nationally amongst the CFL fan base. John Kirby in Edmonton, did you tell me to shut up? Am I reading that? Did you tell me to shut up, John? Clark realizes what might be coming here.
Oh, yeah.
You're being facetious, aren't you, John? Yeah. Are we looking at a 30-day ban?
Everybody got nervous. All of a sudden, we're all on it.
Did you tell me to shut up, John? Please tell me you were joking. Oh, I did, but it was about Northlands. Doesn't come with a condition. Normie Fong, writing in, the Hall of Fame equipment manager of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, says, my greatest stadium I visited was the old Montreal Forum. Here's one for you. It's a movie theater now.
Yeah.
And I went there. I've gone to the movie theater a couple of times just to pay homage to the Montreal Canadiens.
And gone to a movie?
No, I did one time with my wife. I've taken her there a couple times, but it's not the same. It's a movie theater. I mean, while they still have like center ice and some seats there and certain artifacts, it's not the same. And I never made it to the Montreal Forum. And that is a regret that I have.
I had the same thing in Toronto. I remember as a kid when they announced the end of Maple Leaf Gardens and the, you know, opening of the Air Canada Center. I'm going to go. And you look in your piggy bank and realize you got about $17 in there. And you're like, that's not going to get me to Toronto to the game. And mom and dad probably aren't going to be able to afford this or pay for this for me. So you're not going to go. And you watch it on Hockey Day in Canada. That's one I miss, because I did. I went to the Mattame Center there. It's a grocery store now. And yeah, you can see center ice, which is cool, in one of the aisles. They have it on the floor, and then there's the Ryerson, I think it's the Ryerson Arena there. It's not the same.
My good friend Nathan Machine Gun Morrison texts my personal phone. He says, Azteca Stadium in Mexico City. I can imagine that's pretty cool. And John Kirby has apologized and says, sorry, Rod, I was joking. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. Randy, our viewer, says, Bo Levi, Imrod. I guess it is a little hypocritical of me to tell somebody else to not tell me to shut up when I said exactly that to Bo. But it's my show and I make the rules. Terry Carrier writes in. He says, BC Place in the 90s left an impression. Oh, I love me some BC Place. Every time I walk in there to this day, I love BC. But pre-expansion, post-expansion. They say BC Place, if they built it today, would be $3.5 billion today.
Holy smokes.
Can you imagine when that thing opened in 82, 83? Can you imagine?
I can't.
Commonwealth and Edmonton must have just been the absolute Taj Mahal of the world.
Right. Yeah.
You can still eat off the floor in Edmonton.
Unbelievable. Yeah, we have some wonderful stadiums.
I feel like we're just getting rolling with our topics. Clark, what was yours?
Philly.
Link, the Link.
Yeah, CenturyLink.
CenturyLink Field, home of the Eagles.
Lincoln Financial,
thank you. The home of the Philadelphia Eagles. So I enjoy that. One thing that I've realized clearly in this pandemic crisis and the lockdown that we all sit in is people love to be able to give their opinion on things. And we do that. We've been doing that every day here through 203 episodes anyways, but even more so now. So we'll continue that topic rolling into hour two. I should read from Trent in Norway, his comment. Norway calling. When I was home in 2017, I took my mother to the new Mosaic Stadium for the Riders and the Argos. When we walked into the stadium, I said in awe to my mother, "This is Saskatchewan's house." The volunteer behind us said, "Yes, it's ours. I can't wait to get to another game when I'm back home. Stay well, everyone." Thank you, Trent. When I saw the NBC Sports tweet, I thought for a minute about what, because I've been in a lot of stadiums, I'm still in awe every single time I walk in Mosaic Stadium in Regina. And I don't expect that it will ever change. We'll be back with hour two. We got Justin Dunk, Solomon Elamimian, and from the XFL, Connor Folk. It's the Rod Peterson Show Facebook Live, coming this spring to Game Plus Network, and listen live to rodpeterson.com.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years and it's been a great experience.
Hi neighbor, Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup and delivery at no extra charge, and we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.